Okay, this hour we're going to be finishing up with this whole area of time management, and we're going to be dealing with evaluation and appraisal. And by that I mean the examining of oneself to see that every part of the predetermined plan is functioning according to the performance standard necessary for accomplishing the objective. Now, it's interesting to note that God has been involved in the process of evaluation since the beginning of creation. In the Genesis account, five times in the first chapter, it says that the Lord evaluated the work of his hand, and he saw that it was good. And then in verse 31 of that first chapter, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So each day God evaluated his work and was pleased with it, but on the sixth day he was very pleased. Now the psalmist knew this aspect of God, and because he wanted to become the kind of man that God could use, he prayed over in Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, where he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, most people see evaluation as a negative rather than as a positive contribution to their life. And every time students are tested on their ability to grasp the material taught in the course, they groan with great apprehension. And in fact, I've literally had people who have left this course rather than to be evaluated. And to them, evaluation is a negative process, though God intended it to be positive and constructive to our life. Now, how can evaluation help us? Because it does help us in a number of ways. And first of all, it helps us to measure where we are in relationship to where we should be in reaching our goals, because it helps us to understand where we're coming from, where we're going, and where we are now. And because we know where we are now, it provides a basis to stimulate us to make whatever corrections which are necessary. If I have drifted off of the course, or I'm not keeping pace with little progress indicators, then it helps to point that out, and hopefully it's going to stimulate me to take some corrective action. And then it provides us with a base for further planning. Because we know where we are at any given point, we have a basis on which to plan for the future. And evaluation helps us to pinpoint exactly where we are. And then it keeps us moving towards the right goal, because it should detect any deviation. And because we see that we're going in the wrong direction, hopefully it will help us to get ourselves moving in the right direction. And then the last thing it does, it helps us to have a sane estimate of our own abilities. When we set unrealistic goals for ourselves, we find that we are forever behind the eight ball. We are not keeping up, we're under pressure, we're overworked, and we are just barely meeting those goals. And when we find ourselves in that kind of position, then we need to reevaluate and to set some goals that are more realistic. Because one of the things that our goals should be are obtainable. And if we end up, you know, stretching ourselves so far that we can just barely reach them, and we are forever, you know, just barely getting it done, something is wrong, and we ought to come back and to set something that is more realistic. Then our objective are to be evaluated objectively rather than subjectively. And when we have no clear goals that are stated, the only way that we can evaluate ourselves is subjectively, and by that I mean that our evaluation is based on an emotional impression of how we are doing in relationship to that unmeasurable or that nebulous goal out there. And if the objectives have been well written, then we find that within the objective, the basis for evaluation is already there, and we don't have to evaluate subjectively. And you remember that when we looked at objectives, they tell us, first of all, the intent. It tells us the activity that we've got to engage in to accomplish. There is the plan of how we are going to fit this into our schedule. And then, again, it gives us the basis for evaluating where we are in relationship to our stated goal. Now, the tragic thing is that most Christians don't have objectives, but they live by their subjectives. They have no clear goals or measurable attributes to the things that they are trying to obtain. They live from day to day, not sure where they're going. They're like a ship without a rudder on the sea of life, and whichever way the winds and the currents carry them, they end up going, because they have no real understanding of what they are trying to accomplish, and unfortunately their lives are dissipated for the temporal rather than the eternal things of God. And if you suggest to them that they take a half a day to evaluate, it's an exercise in futility, because they lack the direction to even know how to go about evaluating where they are. But if you have well-written objectives, then you can evaluate. But how do you do it? An evaluation really consists of asking yourself a series of questions that will help you determine where you're going and how you're doing. And those questions go something like this. And the first one has to do with, what is my objective? And if you don't know that, you're in trouble. And you have no basis to be able to evaluate. And we ought to have objectives that deal with my walk with Christ, objectives that deal with my family, with my vocation or studies, to deal with my ministry, the use of my resources, and the overall direction of my entire life. And when we write objectives, there ought to be the intent, the activity, the plan, and the progress that can be measured. Now, the second question that we ask ourselves, what is my present position in relationship to my goals? Where am I? Where should I be? Am I on schedule? And the plan section of your objectives deal with that, because it spells out what I am doing and how much that I've got to do on a regular basis to keep myself on target. And consequently, I should be able to figure out whether I am ahead, whether I am behind, or whether I am on schedule. The next, what obstacles are keeping me from achieving my objective? And if I am not on schedule or ahead, then I'm obviously behind, and I'm behind because somewhere there is an obstacle that hinders me from doing what I have set my heart to do. And what we've got to do is be honest at this point and figure out exactly what that obstacle is and then deal with it. Now, my experience is that many people come and they say, this is my problem. And it's not their problem. And what they are really dealing with is the symptom rather than the root cause. Suppose I had a rose bush, which I do in my garden, and suppose I hated roses. And so every day as I go out and I see those roses, I reach over and grab them and smash them and throw them on the ground and stomp on them. Am I dealing with the problem? Because all I'm doing is just pruning the bush. And when you prune the bush, what do? You just make the problem all that much more healthy. And if I want to get rid of the roses, things I got to do is get me a shovel and an axe, and I need to get down there and to cut it out at the root. And if I deal with it there, then I'm never going to have to worry about those roses again. But you know, the tragedy is that you find Christians who are there, you know, pulling the roses, and they are dealing with the symptoms and not the root causes. And as long as you do that, you will never overcome the obstacles in your life. Then we need to ask ourselves, what corrections can I make to overcome the obstacles? Now, another mistake that Christians make at this point is they think there is only one way to deal with the problem. And that is not true. That any time you are faced with any obstacle or problem, there has got to be three or four or five or six possibilities in dealing with that. And at this point, we've got to be terribly creative at how to deal with that obstacle. Because sometimes we just jump out of the frying pan right into the fire. We think that we are going to solve this problem only to create another problem. And so what I need to do is to come up with all the possible solutions, and then from those possible solutions to choose the best one. But if you walk away, you know, with some problem in your life and think there's only one way to deal with it, then you are not using what God gave you. And you need to sit down with somebody who is a little wiser and mature in the things of the Lord and ask them to help you think through the various possibilities and to help you to choose the best course of action. But boy, I'll tell you, I've met Christians, you know, that they've been hung up on the same problem year after year after year after year, and they pull one rosebud after another after another after another, and boy, I'll tell you, they've lost hope. And we've got to be honest with what the obstacles are, and then we've got to find the best situation to correct and overcome that obstacle. And then, what is my plan for implementing this course of action over the next 3 days, the next 3 weeks, or the next 3 months? And we need to make sure that whatever solution that we come to, that first of all, that it's realistic, it's reasonable, and it's going to ensure success. And then we have got to find some way to enforce the discipline into our life to make sure that we take that corrective action. Because most of the time we end up there because we lack the discipline. We didn't stay on the program and the plan that we had figured out. And we've got to find a way to enforce that. And sometimes we can do that by making it a special matter of prayer, but more often than not, I've just got to learn to structure my life and to live out my plan. I suggested to you that you evaluate every 3 months or 3 weeks or 3 days. And if you are living in victory, then if you come along and evaluate every 3 months, you're probably in good shape. But if you are struggling with an area, then perhaps you need to evaluate about every 3 weeks. And if you're defeated, then you need to evaluate about every 3 days until you get to the struggling stage and then to the victory. And if we don't, you know, we're defeated in this area and we come up with this plan and then turn our back on it for 3 months, we're never going to overcome it. We're just playing a game with ourselves and with God and with the devil. And so depending where you are, then you implement that and reevaluate it every 3 days, 3 weeks, or 3 months. Now, there are some dangers in evaluation, and we need to be aware of them. And the first one is, don't measure yourself against other people. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, it says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. For they who measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves are not wise." But you know, so oftentimes people come along and they look over here at their neighbor and they think, "Well, I'm doing better than they are." And God says, "Don't you do that." We dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. And if we do it, we are unwise. Now, sometimes we, you know, think about people, and when we evaluate them, we say, "Well, this guy has an IQ of 100, and this person has an IQ of 130, and I suppose, you know, spiritually we could say, "Well, this guy has 3 gifts, and this guy over here has 5 gifts. And if this guy over here who has 5 gifts decides to measure himself by this man over here, he thinks, well, I'm doing pretty good." Where he may be putting out at 100% because I measure back against him, I find that I can function and keep up with him by operating at 70%. And that does not please the heart of God, and it does not give you an honest evaluation of where you are in your own personal life. So do not measure yourself against other people, but measure yourself back against the Word of God and the abilities that God has given to you. And if you set realistic goals for yourself that are in keeping with the Scripture, that probably is the best way to be able to do that. And then another danger is that we procrastinate. We simply wait until it is too late to do anything about it. Where if we would have scheduled an evaluation at the end of the quarter or at half year, where if somehow we had gotten off of track and detected it early enough, we could have put some corrective measure in there and by the end of the year turn that thing around. But we procrastinate. And by the time we wake up, it simply is too late. And then evaluate objectively. And if you don't have measurable objectives, then don't even waste your time trying to evaluate. Take that time and set some objective goals that are clear, concise, and measurable. And then at some later point come back. Because if you decide to evaluate subjectively, you're in trouble. Because you get up, you know, and this morning, boy, I've got a headache is like no headache I've ever had before. And because of that, there is this whole black cloud that I've got to filter through. And whatever goes through there, boy, I'll tell you, it's going to come out black. And there are some days when I, you know, just think everything is going wrong. But when I come back to my objectives, I find, Dawson, you are steady on course. And it ought to be something that encourages me rather than discourage me. And of course, one of the beautiful things that evaluation does, it tells us where we are. And if we are keeping pace with the goals and the objectives that God has set for us and that we've set for ourselves, that it becomes a tremendous motivating factor in our life. There are few people who ever got too much success. But my experience is that there is nothing that motivates people like success. So there are some dangers, and we just need to keep that in view. But evaluation and appraisal of ourselves is a very important part of learning to manage our lives.